with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
It's Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Got a little frog in my throat, man. This hot weather and going in and out of air conditioning and things like that, it's really got me a little...
sexy.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'll go with that. We'll go with sexy. Wow. But I'm sexy Jop, and that's Bob.
What was that?
Conrad just came out on air.
Yeah, right.
Oh, hell.
I know we've been fighting it for a while.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us to this really weird show.
Right.
That's revealing more than just recipes,
right?
Apparently. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for joining the smokiest and strangest show on the airwaves. We have a wonderful celebration coming up for our country.
Independence Day.
We're going to give you just a couple of ideas as to maybe a way to make your independence celebration different.
So I'm going to get the heavy lifting out of the way first. And it's sanitary and be careful in this heat. Because I think that a lot of things can go bad in a hurry. If you've got raw product out by your grill and you're getting ready to prepare it and it's sitting in 90 to 95 degree heat, and it's not so much the product, it's what's left behind that always causes the problem. And if you, like, I know that I'll season my, let's use skinless, boneless chicken thighs. Love them. Cook them almost every
week.
Going
to buy some right after this?
Yeah, there you go. So, but, you know, you take those things out. They got a little bit of fat on them. A lot of times I'll just trim some of that off. There's just too much on it. And then they're sitting on the cutting board. I season them, and then I light the grill and get it hot. If it's charcoal, that's 15, 20 minutes. If it's, you know, gas, it might be 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. But the point is that in this heat, that bacteria can grow quickly. And it's not about the chicken, because you're going to put that on the grill and it's going to get cooked, and any bacteria will get cooked, and you don't have to worry about it. But it's on the cutting board and it's on your tongs. And if you're using the same tongs that you put it on the grill with later in the cook, there's still bacteria on the ends of those tongs because they aren't cooked, but the chicken is. And now you're putting that back on your chicken. And if you're doing it right when you take it off, it can get dicey.
And there's your morning thought.
Right.
Chicken juice.
Right. But I just think that be careful out there. This is the 4th of July.
Well, you're opening up a can of worms as well as a bag of chicken.
Right, exactly.
So I have switched over to all wooden cutting boards because I've noticed plenty of, let's say, informationals about the plastics that actually get cut up on a cutting board and end up in your meat.
Okay.
And so,
if your knives are sharp, I could see that happening.
Oh, it does, yeah. And you look at your plastic cutting boards, and there's tons of little pebbles all on top, and they're just waiting to jump off on the next piece you cut.
Right.
So, that being said, it'd be okay to use those old plastic cutting boards as a tray to carry them out to the grill on. But I would still sand off all that debris. I would get it off of there because plastic isn't good for your muscles.
Right. And the wooden cutting boards, Bob, you got to clean those pretty well. Now, they're not dishwasher.
Well, you not only have to clean them, but when you're done cleaning them, you have to what?
Oil them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big
exactly.
deal.
Seal
That's
it up.
That's your protection.
Right. Yep. And because as you cut, wood is porous. And if you got sharp knives like we do, sometimes you push a little too hard and you'll dent that board, and then you're driving in whatever juice or you had. And that's why you use that soapy water. But to your point, when you're done with that soapy water, just a little bit of any kind of cooking oil, olive oil, whatever it is, and you just rub that in there and then store your board, and you'll be fine.
I happen to make some fish this week that turned out really well. You know, I bought that wild Alaskan online.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're dropping fresh fish to you.
Yes, well, it's frozen.
Right, but I mean...
Flash frozen. It's a phenomenal. And I have now no halibut left, but...
Well, that'd be the first thing to win if I opened that box, man. I love halibut.
Well, the prawns were phenomenal, too, but it's a very cool way to buy seafood. It's called Wild Alaskan. But the first time I made it, I made it exactly like a buddy of mine in Erie, Pennsylvania made it for me, and we had a wonderful night on his deck, and I loved his style and recipes. But my wife is just... you know, so Irish and English, that's half of her bloodline, that she grew up with fish and chips.
Sure.
Fish, in her mind, has to be coated in something and deep fried.
Right.
So this time, that's what I did. Because I made this beautiful recipe for her, and she barely touched it. And I was brokenhearted because it's like $30 a pound, right?
Right.
And I'm like, I hate to give that to the cats, but I know what they're going to say.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
This time I hit a home run.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So tell me about your batter, because that's the big thing on fish. What'd you do?
Well, I've moved all over the place, but, you know, very often, as many cookbooks as I have, I will do what everybody does and go online and start surfing. And the one that tends to be what her and I both like most is a tempura.
Okay, yep.
And that one, they're all really simple. It's flour and egg and water or milk or whatever it calls for. But that one has some baking soda with it.
Right. Fluffs it up a little bit.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And that also, I was doing it wrong. I thought you had to dredge it through egg and then through flour and then dip it in. You can actually just pat your meat dry and dip it in the batter, and it holds, in my opinion, better.
Right. We have a friend of the show, Captain Ken. He's a walleye guy. He's over in Saginaw Bay. Haven't talked to Captain Ken in a couple years, but he taught me a lot about a lot of things. But the one thing he taught me about battering fish, which I think is a great secret that's not a secret anymore, is if you put that fish in ice water, get the fillet really cold.
Yes.
And then you dredge it in the batter and put it immediately into the fry pan.
Time out. Soak it in ice water, and then what? Pat it dry.
Right. But you want the fillet cold. That's where I'm at, because that cold fish with the batter hitting the hot oil makes that batter crisp up. And it's just an easy little technique, but he'd have his fish sitting in just a Tupperware with ice in it and water. It might be in there 15 minutes before he cooks it, and he takes it out. Like you said, pat it dry, run it through the batter, and drop it in there immediately when that fish is cold. Makes a difference. It really does. And
we ever do without paper towels?
Right. I don't know, man. Oh, I go through a lot this time of year. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I buy the giant packs at Costco.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And you can go through a bunch of that stuff in a hurry.
Yeah.
We had the solstice was a couple Saturdays ago. And so we had three couples over, and I went to Sobey and got some just beautiful ribeyes. And then one of the guys that came down is a big walleye fisherman, and we had surf and turf, and it was ribeye and walleye. So it was a double vision party, right? And, we had a lot of fun.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good. And highly recommended if any of you've got walleye in there. And we deep fried that in, you know, just oil, like you said, and with a batter, and the fish was cold, crispy. I think that the ladies really enjoyed the walleye as much as they did the steaks. I mean, I'm still a big ribeye guy. I nothing better on my grill than a ribeye, but the walleye was fantastic too.
I did play around with a little mac and cheese that these noodles come from Aldi's, and it's an Italian noodle, but they're really big and beautiful, bigger than I would typically normally want. But I made up the cheese sauce this time with a huge blend of cheeses, and I literally left the water in with the noodles and melted down my cheeses right in that. And the first thing I started with was cubes of
Velveeta.
Yes.
I knew you were there.
It's a sacred base to me.
Right.
That, and I put some Gruyere.
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 Yep.
some Friere.
Yeah, we all get
and
that.
And then some cheddar and some Monterey Jack and, oh my gosh, a little bit of mustard, a little bit of cayenne.
Yep.
It was probably the best mac and cheese I've ever eaten.
Mm, yummy. Coming up next, we've got Brad Ensing from Garrett's Appliance. They got a big sale going on for the 4th of July. It is the quintessential grilling weekend between now and next weekend. You're on vacation,
and
hopefully.
And here's how pampered he is. He's not even there.
All right. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef, seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat, dairy and deli, groceries, beer and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're in the middle of the summer, and there's nothing better than get out in your backyard and fire up a grill or a smoker. But if yours isn't quite working, we got one of our friends on the line, right, Bob?
Well, not only that, but see, we always talk about the grill, but where would you be without a good refrigerator?
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about food safety.
Right.
So we've got the appliance expert, Brad Ensing from Garrett's Appliance on. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy weekend.
Yeah, man. It's a little warm where you are.
It is a little spicy out right now. At least I'm catching a cool breeze. It is the weekend, so I'm doing one of the things that I love to do the most, which is fishing.
All right. So are you on a river? Are you in your boat? What's that look like?
I am on a boat casting a Northland spinnerbait. I just about 20 minutes ago caught about a 21-inch bass.
Nice.
And it is a good day. I'm actually out on a lake out in the Conklin area. And to my wife's dismay, I tried to get this out of the way in the morning so I can spend time with the family in the afternoon.
Right.
Hey, so well, meanwhile, all your coworkers are back at the shop, and what's going on back at Garrett's Appliance?
Oh, buddy, we got 4th of July sales going on. We got grill closeouts going on. It is an exciting time to get appliances.
So what does that look like? You have that new building on the front corner. Is that where you keep a lot of your closeouts?
Yeah, right now most of our closeout grills are actually in the old BP gas station, which we bought here some years back when they closed up shop. We do have some of the newer grills in the main part of the building. A lot of the newer grills that we're doing are more the built-in style grills. So right now, if you are looking for a screaming deal on a closeout last year's model with some amazing grill names, we got Broil King. I think we got a Weber or two left sitting in there. I've been told that our young, lovely Miss Brittany is going to start posting them up on social media. To kind of get the word out that we still got some closeouts left on grilling, but the season is still young to get out there and grill, seeing the season goes all year long in Michigan, but a perfect time to pick out yourself a new grill or get that loved one of yours a refresh.
So are your washers and dryers on sale as well?
Absolutely. So we just came off from Memorial Day sales, and the 4th of July sales have come out. No, I know a lot of the customers and clients out there are a little worried about tariffs. There have been some price increases as of late. However, this sale, I basically have been looking at them, and a lot of the prices that they're running right now are the same that last year was on Black Friday. So if you're in the mood, I would get down sooner than later because this one's going for about another week and a half.
Well, I was telling Jop, we were talking about he was talking about food safety and sanitation, and I said, you need a good refrigerator to keep all that meat in. But any grilling guy knows that when you're making all this mess, you're also going to end up with a lot of things that have to go into a washing machine. And I want to tell you that you steered me straight, 10 years ago probably, on a Speed Queen washer. And I want to say that I have never even had a service call on that thing, and it is a beast, and it's American-made.
Yep, and there's that's something to be said right there. There are still a decent amount of products made in the USA, but if you're looking for a washing machine that's going to give you the chance of lasting 20-plus years, Speed Queen is definitely the way to do it, where you can still have a deep fill on the washing machine where it's going to fill all the way up to the top with water and deep wash that clothing. Amazing units. We like to give customers a rundown when they come to the showroom, since there are, I'll consider it, four types of washing machines, three different types of top loads, and then, of course, front load. But, you know, we walk through those steps with the customer so they can make the right decision for them. As I always say to clients on the showroom, you know, there's certain things that I like, but my number one goal is to make sure you get what you like and what's going to work best for you.
So, Brad, I'm going to switch back to pellet grills. Bob had given me a Louisiana pellet grill when he was repping these things, and that thing is running like crazy, but it's tired. The cart's blowing up on me. I've moved it too many times.
I moved it too many times.
And I'm in the market for a new pellet grill slash smoker. You know, I've got all kinds of stuff, but I use the pellet a lot. It's easy to get it going. What brands of pellet grills do you guys carry?
So the main brand that we're going to carry is going to be the Traeger, probably the best known name in all the pellet grills on the market. And then we do have some newer units. They're a little bit on the pricier side, by a company called Coyote, that they actually make built-in pellet grills in 30 and 30-inch big stainless steel beefy things. And those actually can be built into cabinets. They're pretty amazing. I've got one on display right now. We have a demo unit, so when we do get into our next grilling event at the showroom, we will have that thing fired up and turning out some food on that as well.
Nice.
I know you do a lot of Coyote equipment. I had a good friend recently call me and ask me, he wants to buy a flat top. And
correct.
I said, well,
they make one.
Try and find one with a nice coating on the griddle, like porcelain, instead of just the mild steel.
Yeah, so on the Coyote, they actually are going to have a stainless top. And then on top of that, they are going to they're going to make a built-in unit. So it's not like your Blackstone type unit that's a cast iron top. They actually have a built-in unit that can be built into the cabinets again, access doors down below it, you know, for that connoisseur that's building that, you know, once-in-a-lifetime outdoor kitchen and wants to spare no expense because he's going to leave it in there for 25 years.
So you're saying they have Coyote has a portable as well with a stainless top?
Nope. Theirs is a built-in unit, no portable.
Oh, okay.
Is not a freestanding unit. It's going to be built into the cabinet.
But do you have a flat top with any kind of a surface that's not going to rust so bad as a Blackstone?
Yeah, so we also carry a brand by the name of Pit Boss, and they make, I believe it's three different sizes, two burners up to four burners, so a 2, 3, and 4 burner that has a non-stick surface top. The actual top can be removed right from the unit, and it, of course, is on, you know, a cart, so it can be moved around as well. It's a heavy bugger. It's built quality.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I was up a Memorial Day weekend, and I cooked on a Pit Boss. One of the guys where I was at had it, and he had a pellet grill. You carry Pit Boss pellet grills, too?
We do. We tend not to stock as much of them. I believe I have maybe 3 or 4 of them in stock right now, but it is something we can order in if needs be.
Yeah, great. I was impressed with the unit.
They're pretty solid.
Right, it was. He had a stack smoker beside it too, like a box smoker, and we were cooking for 25 people. So he had like 16 sets of ribs that when we got them done, we were just keeping them warm. And that other one, it was a cool unit, really cool unit. So
sounds like production.
Yeah.
Bradley, you go catch some more fish and make sure you text your friends at work and tell them you're sorry you missed them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get right on top of that. I might send you a photo of the latest catch here. It was a beauty, and I hope you guys have some good grilling this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Just right, post it on the Grilling Guys Facebook page. That'd be good enough.
Yeah, right.
You got it. I'll send it to you because I don't think you can. I can post on there. I've tried before, but I'll send it to you, and you can throw up a photo.
Cool.
All right, guys. We'll catch you soon.
That's right. Brad Ensing from Garrett's Appliances, and he is getting a fish home.
Yeah. He's a great guy. Super knowledgeable. We didn't even touch upon his
fish
foraging.
Is way too much.
Right. Coming up next, Independence Day is upon us, and we're going to talk about some really cool food for your get-together. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Thank you, Brad.
He's gone. He's fishing.
Yeah.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Hall Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Join us for happy hour Monday through Saturday from 4 to 7, with 30% off brick oven pizzas and $1 off beer and wine. Enjoy your meal and drinks on our large outdoor patio, or even take your pizzas to go. Happy hour deals also available at our sister location, Wealthy Street Bakery, which is on the corner of Wealthy and Union. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, this is the last show you're going to hear before the 4th of July because our next one is on the 5th of July. So we thought we would maybe talk a little bit about your Independence Day grilling extravaganza.
Yes.
And Bob's got a couple recipes that he wants to talk about that you might want to write these down in the dust on your dash.
Yeah. Or just clean your car and get a notepad.
Or go to thegrillingguys.com because the recipe will be there. That there might be the easiest
okay,
of all.
Okay. You yeah. got me. Yeah. this one I'm kind of proud of because I used to have the feeling that I had to invent every recipe I used, and I worked really hard on finding something that used turkey as, you know, kind of our national bird, really, as the main ingredient for a burger. And always trying to find healthy things, yada, yada. And, of course, I was trying to pull in Old World Olive Company and all these things. And this one actually worked out. The ones that taste like crap are not on our menu. But we ate them anyway.
Yeah, we have a colander, and if they don't fall through, those are the ones we keep,
right? That's
right. Yeah.
But this one we call the Independence Burger, and it's using ground turkey, and you'll find it on thegrillingguys.com. If you look at the search bar at the top and just punch in Independence, it's the first thing that'll come up. But it uses ground turkey, and we used to have a connection with a lot of turkey people too, so that was kind of special. It uses the Randy's favorite blood orange EVO from Old World, and it uses a jalapeno balsamic, really finely chopped onions, and when you're doing a ground meat and you're going to put things like peppers and onions
especially
in.
Poultry.
Especially poultry. You got to chop those veggies, I think, really finely. What do you think?
No, I agree with you. 100%.
Otherwise, they make it fall apart.
Right.
And this is a burger. You don't want it to fall apart until you're chewing it. So, and then it's going to also have some shredded pepper jack and some...
Well, that's glue.
It is.
Yeah.
That was the intent. That
yeah.
was absolutely the intent. But the flavor comes out just really good, you know. Sometimes you pull a rabbit out of your hat, and this was, I think, one of those. Anyway, you'll find it on thegrillingguys.com. You'll also find our sponsors. And I think last week we had Hunter's Blend Coffee on there. And if you want to try a really good coffee that is honestly sourced and I think the company is owned by a bunch of sportsmen and patriots and people that just love their country. They're really a great group of guys, and they have turned it into a business they can barely keep up with. And there's a few of those coffee companies out there now. I chose Hunter's Blend because they responded to an email. No, I hear them on another platform quite a bit. And Mike, who was on our show, actually does these videos that are historical, which really kind of is perfect for Independence Day. If you can get back to some of the basics of our country and just pay attention to why we have this upcoming weekend and what some of those people did to start our country. It's amazing. One of the really cool things, which I was going to go down a rabbit hole on.
You're already there.
When I took my daughter Olivia out to Philadelphia to do an event with Dick Vermeil and the Eagles alumni, I had to spend the day downtown Philly with her because she was 14 and I wanted to show her Independence Hall and all these things. And we went to a place called the Main Street Tavern, I believe. And it's all 1600s garb, 1600s menus. And it was quite an experience because what they had was Thomas Jefferson's beer and George Washington's beer, and as well as some really good food. I thought they ate horrible stuff back then, but turns out they actually knew how to cook.
Well, there you go. They got to eat something. Right?
But in doing that research the other day, I noticed all sorts of founders who brewed their own beer, and I thought that was kind of cool. You might, you know, get yourself some Sam Adams for the day.
Yeah, there you go. Independent beer. So back to recipes and ideas. Generally, when you have a bunch of people around over the holidays, they eat throughout the day.
Yeah.
They don't eat and so you got lots of veggie choices.
Yes.
And I think that that's a great thing to focus on. You can grill some of them. Obviously, you can make them raw with dips, but keep your dips on ice. Don't want anybody to, you know, especially if they're cream based, but veggie skewers, I think are very overlooked. Any veggie you like, if you cut it in a little square chunk or something and you can put it on a stick, throw a little, either just dry seasoning on it, or if you like a marinade of some sort, you know, put a little bit of that on there. But man, what a great side dish.
It is.
And people can pick what they want. You know,
the kids can.
Right.
Because yeah. The kids are really picky.
Yeah. So what are some of the vegetables that you like to use? Obviously, I'll start with I love a big chunk of sweet onion. I mean, that's kind of like
that's
beginning.
A great, great point.
Right.
Because you might still have time. I hoard Vidalias.
Right.
I buy a ton of them, and I found them on sale, again, at Costco. And they're not as cheap as they used to be, but I think I got them for like $1.20 a pound. And I have a bunch of refrigerators like you do. So I just throw them in the vegetable tray. But
right.
Yeah, that's a great thing to get.
Yep.
And zucchini,
right.
Yellow squash. Those tend to be very marinatable.
Right. And the tricolor, the red, the orange, and the green bell peppers,
love
yellow.
Love them.
Bell peppers.
Yep.
Those are really good on
yep.
there. And just you can, and the cool part, if you make just a veggie skewer, is you can stack them up against each other.
Yeah.
Right? We always,
unlike the meat.
Right. If you got meat on there,
unlike
you need a little
the chicken,
room.
I should
right,
say.
Yeah.
So what I thought went really well with this Independence burger, keeping it on the light or whiter side, light-colored meats and foods, is a potato salad that my wife made for me once, and I've replicated and maybe improved upon it. But
that's okay, Bob. She doesn't listen.
I know. She's still in bed. So... It really has to do with just some nice golden potatoes.
Well, the little yellow ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And make sure you slice them and cut them, chop them up at the right size. I do it after I cook them. I let them cool. I put them in the fridge, and they're a little easier to manipulate. And then I use just some Duke's.
Mayo.
Duke's, yeah.
I love Duke's, yeah.
It's the only one for me.
Right.
I'm Pukey Duke. And then, of course, whatever you
like. I like Daisy. Daisy Duke.
Maybe a little bit of sweet relish and thyme. And, of course, you have to boil some eggs because you have to chop up some eggs and then make a nice array on top. Put paprika on it when you're done. But it, if you keep it really simple with just the potatoes, the Dukes, a little bit of onion, but you got to go easy on that because it's going to be raw, and some people just aren't as freaky.
My mom used to put just little bits of celery.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Celery. Right. I have it written down somewhere.
Just not in front of you.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You know what? I bet that's on the grillingguys.com.
No.
You want to look at
it. No, I don't think
I've ever. Oh, you're hoarding this recipe.
I don't think I've ever put it on there. Well, I'm getting old, man.
Something to do.
How much stuff can you do
right,
in a day?
Right.
Something to do this weekend.
In between skinning logs and.
Hey, man. You have a choice every day what you get up and want to do.
That's what my wife says.
Right.
And then she tells me what I'm going to do.
Right. So the other thing that's really good, because they're good warm or cold, are just your quintessential jalapeno popper. Little cream cheese, mix in some, maybe some, you know, breakfast sausage.
I call those
sausage.
A jopper popper.
Yeah. And whatever you like. I put a little fruit in them. I boat them, right? Cut them lengthways, get the membrane and the seeds out of there. What is it called, Bob?
Placental
Thank
fiber.
You. Yes. So anyway, put a little cream cheese. And I take crushed pineapple sometimes just to give it a little different flavor. Boat that in there.
A little sweet and hot.
Wrap it with a piece of bacon. And I prefer them smoked rather than grilled. And let that cook down.
Yeah.
And they're come off the grill. They're wonderful. But an hour and a half later,
yeah,
they're still good.
And if
cold.
You don't have a smoker, you can do it on your grill. You can still get that savory smoke from your grill.
Yep.
Just move them off and do it indirect. And then run them over to the side to tighten up that bacon at the very end.
Yeah. Coming up next, it's the finger food for the fourth. Say that three times fast after you've had a craft beer. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Gotta feed that boy.
You are getting your man card pulled.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grillin' Guys.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're talking all about the 4th of July parties. With the 4th being on Friday, our company is closing on Thursday as well to give us a little extra time.
What a good company
So we've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's a whole lot of grilling going on. And at some point during that time, you're going to want some finger food, right? I mean, stuff you can just walk by, pop one in your mouth. We talked about the jalapeno poppers in the last segment. Those are great finger food because, once again, I think they're good, really good, hot off the grill or smoker. But if they sit on a plate for an hour and they're at room temperature, you're not going to lose anything because it's all cooked. But you want to they're just good to eat at room temperature too. I enjoy those no matter what temperature they are. But what are you thinking, Bob? I see, you know, wings are easy for the 4th of July. Those two can be kept around.
Yeah, don't understate wings because everybody likes them. You look at like any event you go to now and there's a bunch of wings and the people are piling through them. So know your audience when you're doing those because everybody has a certain style they like, and it's your wife that you got to make happy.
Yeah, so I'm going to go down a little bunny trail with that because on next weekend when you're listening to the show, the 5th, I have a catering gig in Grand Haven for a guy that throws a monster 4th of July party at his man cave barn, okay? And he ordered 1,000 chicken wings from me for this party. And so that's a ridiculous amount of chicken wings. But what I'm going to do is...
Good thing you bought all that marinade you like.
Yeah, well, no, because here's what we're going to do. And I wanted to give you... Because I got to make that ahead, right? I can't get 1,000 chicken wings hot out there.
Oh.
You're coming
out to my house.
Right. Yeah, and we're going to put them on the big trailer smoker, the good one, and we're going to smoke those things up. And then when I get there... And I'm going to use a dry rub on them, whatever dry rub you like. I tend to go a little bit neutral just because not everybody likes hot, and I can hot them up.
You can't beat that Memphis profile like Robbie Russell always taught us, and that pig's ass will do it.
Right. And so we're going to cook these things, and I'm going to bring them out there and cool them down and bring them out there cold. And then he's got a double oven. And what I'm going to do is put them on trays.
And it's probably convection.
Right. Yep. Is put them on trays and warm them up a little bit, take them out, and then toss them in sauce. And I'm going to do a quintessential buffalo sauce. I'm going to do a garlic parm. I'm going to do a sweet sauce. And then I'll put some heat on them.
Yep.
So I have four sauces.
So one thing you could also do is you take them out of there and you could throw them in a colander.
Yeah.
And just dip it on it and hold that salt. Because you want to reclaim as much of that sauce as you can, because it's all money.
Right. And what that would be great. What I thought I would do is bring four plastic bowls and have one for each flavor and then throw in like 30 wings in there, toss them, throw them on a baking pan and throw them in that convection oven.
Oh, you're going to put them back in the oven.
Yeah.
After
they get sauced, to tacky it up a little bit and make sure they're hot.
Use parchment paper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. On that. But anyway, so I've got to bring all these wings. There's no way on earth I can keep them all hot.
Right.
And get them all cooked at that time. So, but you can do that. And I'm not freezing them. I'm just going to cool them down.
I'm going to cool them for the night.
Cool them for the night and take them out there in a dry cooler with ice in it to keep them cold. Right. And then it'll be good. We'll pull them out of there and cook them up. And after I get the first ones done, you know, that's a grazing thing. People get there about 6. Fireworks are at like 10:30 at night, so they graze all evening. So I don't need all 1,000 of them ready at one time, right? So we're going to do it that
get
way.
Get there just a couple hours early.
Yeah. Yep. Because they'll be all cooked and they'll be cooled down. They'll be in coolers. I just pull them out. We reheat them and we're good to go. But they're ready to eat when I cooled them down. So I don't really want to cook them. All I want to do is warm them back up.
Yeah,
and
you'll have to keep up with the crowd. That'll be the key.
Yeah, yep.
Hopefully those ovens are convection. The parchment paper is a big deal for your cleanup afterwards.
Right.
It's not because I love parchment paper.
Right.
It's because it's another trick my wife taught me in that, because the cleanup is what stinks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And those aluminum pans, do you have enough sheets to?
Yeah, I got 8 of them.
Oh,
and
okay.
We rotate them through.
Okay.
And Lisa goes with me, and she's kind of the sous chef. And she'll prep them all, and we'll monitor what flavors are going more, and you know, adjust accordingly.
Good for you.
But yeah, it's a little bit of a big gig, but it should be a lot of fun.
So another thing I found interesting, and I've done before, is grilled bruschetta. And my wife, again, it's my wife's day, loves bruschetta.
Right.
So I'll get some focaccia.
Okay.
And I'll slice it on a diagonal,
slices. That comes great from Wealthy Bakery. They make a great focaccia there.
And then I'll brush a little bit of EVO on it, and I'll lightly throw them on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
Not for too long, because I don't want them to be hard, right?
Some grill marks.
It's kind of a trick. And have your, there's actually, I found this online, too. This looked really cool. This was a grilled nectarine and cheese crostini. And I would like to say that these same breads can be used for either this or the bruschetta.
Right.
And when you'll find for finger food, when you put out little breadies, chicks go nuts.
Yeah. Well, especially with good stuff on top of them and bruschetta. What are you going to put on top?
So for the bruschetta, it's a real simple. It's EVO, tomato, balsamic, and basil, fresh chopped basil. But for these grilled nectarine, and I love nectarines, we eat a bunch of them, and it's a wonderful thing to grill. You just cut them in slices, leave the skin on, and lightly put them on the grill. You're going to probably want to brush a little EVO on them before you put them on the grill so they don't stick. But then you get these baguettes, you grill them, and then you're going to get like some fresh goat cheese and a little basil leaf and make up, put that goat cheese down, put your nectarines down, put the basil on, and drizzle maybe a little balsamic or reduction on top of it.
Mm.
It's a wonderful combination. I've never had this particular one, but I'm a big goat cheese fan.
Yep. Little tangy.
Yeah.
That's cool. That sweet and tangy, and then the balsamic on there kind of brings it all together. That's really good. And that's not that hard. That sounds a little gourmet.
No, it's not.
It's not.
That's why I like it. It's It's simple. Like
I would say my only tip on that is don't cut the nectarine slices too small because you don't want them falling through your grill.
No, you want them. That's a good point. And that wide end of the wedge should be around an inch and a quarter.
Yep.
So one nectarine is going to give you like probably 8 wedges.
Right. Yep.
No wedgies.
No wedgies on your nectarine.
But those little things when you use breads like that.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're a guy who loves presentation. When you bring out a platter of those, you're going to hear the women swoon, and it's not for you. They're going to look at your bread.
Yeah,
you get a lot of oohs and ahs. And personally, I think bruschetta it's addicting.
Right.
There's a restaurant, a favorite Italian place my wife and I have, and we will just go in and get a glass of wine and bruschetta.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of making the
bet
women,
they love you when you come through the door, right?
Well, you still leave a big tip.
Right. Yeah, speaking of making the women swoon, our pool's open. I've swam in it twice is all. I'm not a big pool guy. I do it for other people. But the other day I jumped in, and when I got out, you know, your suit kind of clings to you. My wife's comment is, you don't have a butt anymore. And I'm like,
no.
Thank you.
Where'd that come from, honey?
We lose
thanks,
that
honey.
In the 50s.
Yeah. Now, if you would have said to her, you don't have a waist anymore, how would that have gone?
Oh, I had a duck. Because I'd be looking for
here
the right
comes
cross.
The lodge skillet.
Right, yeah. Exactly. No, so I was like, well, okay. I got that going for me. I guess I can still cook if that's,
Do you use the pizza oven when it's so hot out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That'll be big next weekend. We're actually having Saturday, we have a pizza party, and I'm just going to be making pizzas.
Were you invited to that, Conrad?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I saw today. The invite either.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, it's a good thing. You want to give your address out over there?
Right, sure. Yeah. Yep. I'm in 1091 Cumberland Drive.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you are a sow.
But anyway, hey, if you're planning your cookout for 4th of July, just be careful. Keep things clean. Keep cold things cold. Keep hot things hot, and everybody will have a great time. Don't set your potato salad in the sun. You know, put it in a bowl of ice, and everybody will be good.
And when you're
it.
Grilling, the song you can play is Safety Dance.
Right, yes, right, yeah.
Well, have a great Independence Day. We'll come back and talk to you the day after and see how you did.
Yeah.
If you have all your fingers.
Yep, get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or smoker. Your neighbors will love it, and you're going to make some new friends. So you've been listening to Grilling Guys.
Just remember why we celebrate it.
That's right. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.